Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, where we interview entrepreneurs who are living their best life doing exactly that, working from their happy place. I'm your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and today I have a couple of wonderful guests for you. I have Renee Agredano and Jim Nelson. They grew their full-service marketing firm for 10 years in a remote small town. In 2007, they hit the road in a fifth-wheel trailer with their dog, Jerry, after he lost a leg to cancer. They have been full-time RVers ever since, working from their mobile headquarters to manage Tripods, the largest online support community for three-legged pets and their people. It is my pleasure to welcome Renee and Jim to our show today.
Hi, thanks, Belinda. It's nice to be here.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, absolutely. So guys, why don't we just fill in the gaps a little bit here from your bio and tell our listeners a little bit about this journey, but more importantly, exactly what it is you're doing for folks today.
What we are doing for folks today is helping people cope with amputation for their beloved animals, cats and dogs. And we do that from our happy place.
We also do a number of other things as well. I'm a freelance writer. I make jewelry. And Jim also does marketing consulting and web design for a few clients. But mostly we run the Tripods community.
Awesome. And so then just give us a little bit of background. Let's fill us in a little bit on that journey and what made you decide that this is the thing that you wanted to do.
Well, when our dog was diagnosed with bone cancer, the vets told us that he had about 6 months to live, which threw us for a loop. We didn't even know dogs got cancer at the time. It was really shocking. And we were at a place in life where we were burned out on our existing business. It had come to a point where we were either going to hire a bunch of people and grow it some more or take a step back and enjoy life. So when Jerry got sick, I kind of saw that as an escape route. And one day I said to Jim, hey, you know what? I think we should talk about selling the business and selling the house and taking Jerry on a little road trip, maybe just a year if that's all he's got left. You know, let's go make the most of it. And he surprised me by actually agreeing with me.
Jerry ended up living 2 years. So we had planned and budgeted for that year off. But by the end of 2 years, we had a little blog growing about our dog who had lost a leg to cancer. And we turned that into our full-time labor of love now.
That is awesome. So what type of business did you have before, if you don't mind my asking?
Sure. So we were actually at a point where we had for 10 years grown a full service marketing communications and graphic design firm. So prior to that, we were living in San Francisco and I was working in Silicon Valley in middle management on that career course. And I met Renee and we were outdoorsy people and we had traveled up to Eureka, California. Very remote, and we had fallen in love with the area, and we started putting plans in place to relocate there and start a graphic design firm, which I was kind of budding out of the closet in San Francisco. And we bought some large format printing equipment and started up a large format shop, graphic shop, that wasn't really available in the area yet. And our clients were still down in the Bay Area. So we were living this hectic life, but in a slow-paced community.
Okay.
Events led, when I was out of town one time, events led to Renee wanting a guard dog. And next thing you know, I'm agreeing and saying, I'm not ready for a dog, but we go to the shelter and found a good, tough-looking German Shepherd dog. And he grew to be our, what we call our chief fun officer. He was our CFO because he helped teach us there was things more important to life than slaving away all day. And we were, you know, at 5 o'clock, he would pound on the keyboard literally and say, time to go. And we would spend Friday afternoons at the beach and do lots of hiking. And at the end of one of those hikes at about age 8, he let out a yelp when he jumped out of the truck. And that started it all. It turned out to be cancer in his shoulder.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you make this decision to get an RV and you're going to hit the road, and you had planned on or budgeted for about a year. So give us an idea then of that year. And I'm happy to hear some of your adventures. I mean, obviously you've been living in an RV now for 13 years. So that's something that it's probably foreign to a lot of people, that you don't have a place that you call home. So give us a sort of bird's eye view of a life in the day.
Sure. Happy to do that. So our first year, we thought we're not going to work. We're just going to, we're going to have fun with Jerry as long as we can. And we had this goal of having him swim in the Atlantic Ocean, because we were all from the West Coast. And I thought, boy, if you can make it that far, we've won. You know, we didn't let cancer win. So we traveled across country in our RV, and we had never had an RV before. We were tent campers, and we used to laugh at people in RVs and say, that's not camping. But we ended up liking it because we could go way out in nature, and our RV wasn't that big at the time. It was 24 feet, which is pretty small for the typical RV. And Jerry loved it because he had our attention 24 hours a day. The internet was still, you know, it wasn't what it was today. There was no social media. And so we had internet connectivity because we invested in a satellite internet system for the RV, because we knew that at some point we were going to need to get back to work and do something. And what that something was, we had no idea. So as we traveled across the country with Jerry, we stopped in all these cute little small towns to investigate them and see if that was a place that we could live. I would look at different lists like Sperling's best places, and we'd go to these towns and, you know, just take lots of notes and say, hey, we might come back here someday. By the time we made it to the East Coast, it was the fall and we had left in early summer, and we looked at each other and we're like, well, why do we need to stop? I mean, if Jerry keeps going, let's keep going with him. So we started to look at ways that we could still enjoy the lifestyle, but start to bring in some money and not just hemorrhage from our savings account. So we discovered this thing called work camping, which is where you trade a little bit of your time, a few hours a week, in exchange for rent at a campground or a national park or somewhere like that. But we didn't want to do something that retired people typically do. So instead, what we did was we looked at jobs that would give us a chance to explore small businesses that we might want to own ourselves someday. So, you know, we looked at different job opportunities in the hospitality industry and on an organic farm, for example. So we went and worked on an organic farm to see if that was something we wanted to do, because I had this crazy dream that we might do that someday. We quickly rolled that out. But in the meantime, Jerry had a blast. He was a great farm dog. And we traveled from all up and down the East Coast. We came back out west. We worked at a hot springs resort, and just really had a good time. And Jerry just kept surprising us. So we kept going because the lifestyle just seemed to work for us. And we were also able to stay online and stay connected to our old business contacts. So we didn't feel like we had just cut ourselves off from the world. We were kind of keeping one foot in the whole time Jerry was alive.
So meanwhile, we still weren't making any money.
Okay.
So business-wise, when we first hit the road, we started blogging about our three-legged dog and sharing videos of him doing as well as he was. And we started to get inundated with emails from other people asking about nutrition and exercise and can he swim. And we only had one type of dog with one type of cancer. So I started discussion forums to give people a platform to talk to each other. I did this at tripods.com because we heard the vet techs referring to these three-legged dogs as tripods, and I thought that was kind of derogatory. So I kind of reclaimed that word and empowered it by spelling it with a paw in the middle. So at tripods.com, we installed discussion forums, and the site site started to kind of blow up and all sorts of people started joining. You know, we had a German Shepherd, people with pugs with mast cell cancer and Great Danes with osteosarcoma all started sharing their stories. So the next evolution was to install a live chat room. And then it came time, you know, it still wasn't really making money through the pittance of affiliate links and sponsored content and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And we didn't want to charge people for this information we were providing because they're already overwhelmed with, you know, emergency vet bills. So we started selling products to help animals. So a harness was helpful for helping Jerry up and downstairs. And one day I called the manufacturer and asked about distributing the product, but I'm obviously not going to stock inventory in my RV. And they said, oh, sure, no problem. You'll just need to sell 12 a year. And I thought, oh, well, we'll try. Okay, we'll try. So we launched that. And the next day we had our first order and it kind of took off from there. And we started selling different products and the site has grown since then. And then it became expensive to host because it was taking up so many resources by, you know, the size of the forums and such. Sure. And in 2014, we founded the nonprofit Tripods Foundation to keep everything free. And now that foundation is offering direct assistance programs to people to help pay for amputations and rehab and that sort of thing.
Wow, that's awesome. So you kind of said this already, but I just want to just put it into framework of it. But how has this affected your lifestyles today? So obviously, Jerry has passed on since then, but how's it affected your lifestyle today as far as the work you're doing, the impact you're making, and basically the lifestyle still living out of an RV? So I'd love to hear that.
Well, I think we made the conscious choice to live like this because it allows us to work in places that are just spectacular. I mean, we have worked in some of the most remote locations in North America. We went to Alaska 2 years ago and we're working from up there with this incredible scenery outside and the ability to just take a break and take it all in and not have to wait for the 2 week vacation to do that or to take the 6 hour drive outside of the city for, you know, a 1 week getaway. I mean, our life is kind of a getaway and we love it. It comes at a cost, you know, we traded a really good living for putting adventure and happiness and spending time with our current dog, as our main priorities. So we keep our expenses low and you know, we're still saving for retirement. We're still doing all those responsible things that you're supposed to do. But being able to live like this just gives us the ability to explore while we're still young and healthy and strong enough to do it.
Exactly. So we've worked for ourselves from home for 20 plus years. But 13 years ago, this lifestyle changed. And the biggest difference is it's given us the freedom to enjoy our life. That previous life was doing things for other people, making them money, making us money, you know, getting the next contract to make. It was kind of like, let's get on the career path and make more money so we can retire someday. What we did is kind of take this early, quote unquote, semi-retirement by working almost twice as hard every day, but also playing a lot harder in more beautiful places. And it's really given us purpose. And that is where true success comes from for me.
Yeah. And I'd also like to add that because we are not putting all of our financial resources into maintaining a traditional home and lifestyle that comes with it, we're able to pursue things that we enjoy as far as work. Like, for example, I went to school for journalism. I always thought I was going to be a writer someday. But when I fell into the trap of paying off my student loans and trying to grow our business, I was never able to do any kind of fun writing. It was always just business writing. I was writing data sheets and brochures and things like that. And I felt grateful that I could do that. But it was never my passion. And so now I am able to write for Tripods. I write most of the content for the network. And I also write for other clients, for the RV industry, for the pet and health industry. And that's my passion. So I know that if we were still paying for a house and trying to run a traditional small business, that would get put on the back burner. And it would always be one of those someday things I would have regretted later on.
Well, that's great. That's awesome.
Thanks.
I think it's exciting. I think it's fun. And I think it takes a lot of courage. If you hadn't have been in that situation with your dog, like seriously, like that was the catalyst that sort of pushed you forward in that. But do you think that that's something where you were at that time that you would have seriously considered? Like you discovered this whole lifestyle and of purpose and everything through the journey with your dog, Jerry. But like if you, is that something that ever entered your mind before?
Not really. I was pretty much dead set on growing our business and making maximum profit and doing the best thing we can do to, you know, fund our retirement and sell off the business someday. And without that, you know, slap in the face, I and especially where we were, I don't know if we ever would have discovered the digital nomad lifestyle that is so popular now. It certainly wouldn't have been so long ago. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
And when we first started traveling, our whole goal was to buy another house, start another business, or buy one, and keep doing what we'd always been doing. And so it was a gradual process of figuring out that this was something we enjoyed, and let's just keep doing it this way. So it wasn't an overnight decision after Jerry got sick that we would, you know, find a remote kind of way to make a living and keep doing it. And believe it or not, there's a lot of people out there doing this now. When we started, there wasn't, because the internet and cellular connectivity wasn't what it is today. But now there are people in their late 20s and early 30s. There's families. There's a lot of people doing this because so many people can work remotely now. So it's pretty awesome to see.
That is awesome to hear. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Let's talk about skill sets. What do you think your greatest skill sets are that have really helped you in this success journey? And both of you can share this.
Well, you know, it's funny because we play off each other's strengths and weaknesses. And when Jim and I started working together, for example, I knew right away that I am better on the phone than he is with customers. And
no
so,
comment.
Yeah, no comment there. So how that helps me now is I have a lot more, I have a lot of ways to connect with our clients and our membership base in Tripods that maybe Jim doesn't, because he's more technical minded. So I don't want to say I'm more compassionate, because he's an incredibly compassionate person, but I think it comes through my writing more than it does for him. And that is really important when we're doing things like responding to people's questions in our discussion forums. So I'm able to do that and also help people through our foundation by just talking to them and listening and being there for them.
But your writing is also a major technical asset, because you.
Yeah, that's the technical one. Yeah.
So logistically, my skill set that keeps Tripods going is the technical side. You know, I host more than 1,500 three-legged dog and cat blogs now, and I keep that all going. But the greater skill set I see that I have is kind of a critical thinking and being able to see the big picture. And honestly, the best skills that I think we've adapted are the ones Jerry taught us. Things like resilience and being adaptability, and especially with this lifestyle, with things changing so often, even day to day on the road, being able to roll with those punches and still make that conference call all while you're dealing with a flat tire earlier in the day and be able to just keep rolling along.
Very good. And I think those are all great skill sets. And I think that's good. You've identified those. Let's talk about outstanding accomplishments. What's something that's super meaningful for both of you that you've achieved?
I have had a few of my articles make the cover of a magazine that I started writing for last year. And that was a first for me. I've always had an article here and there in different magazines, and that was great, but I'd never had anything land on a cover before. So in the last year, I've had that happen about 3 times. It's been fabulous.
Oh, that's exciting. Congratulations.
Thanks.
An early accomplishment for me was when PBS featured us and Jerry while he was still alive in a documentary called Why We Love Cats and Dogs. And that first aired in 2009. And it was kind of the epitome and kind of justifying everything we have done, sharing his story. And since then, the most recent accomplishment is the book we just published, which basically is that story from beginning to end. Be More Dog is the name of our book that kind of tells the story of Jerry and the lessons we learned from him and how we turned our passion into a full-time labor of love.
I love that. That's great. So then let's talk about challenges. So what's one of your greatest challenges that you've had doing this, and how did you work through it?
Boy, the biggest challenge is the... It's being able to adapt to changing circumstances and trying to be flexible with your plans, because this lifestyle, there are so many unknowns out there. You know, I think people live a traditional life in a typical house because you know what to expect when you get home. Well, in this lifestyle, whenever we change locations, we have a plan to get there, but we never know what's going to happen from A to B. And for us, that's a lot more obvious than somebody who's driving to and from work. Everybody always says, oh, you don't know if you're going to get hit by a bus tomorrow, but you really don't. But in this lifestyle, it kind of hits home a little closer because we're constantly changing up our environment. So that's a big challenge for us, is just being able to stay centered and still produce and help our members.
I would say the biggest challenge I face on a daily basis is weighing the whole live, work, time experience, because the best thing about our lifestyle is we make our own hours and we can go wherever we want. And the worst thing is we make our own hours.
Yeah.
So, like, for instance, we're currently at our favorite winter destination, where it's everyone here is retired and they're swimming pools and they're playing volleyball in the middle of the day and going out for hikes, and we are working all day. So we need to put a sign on the door and say recording, and no one else gets it when, you know, I'm working away at the desk and I don't get to, you know, I see all these people going about their business and I wish I could go out there and play, but
yeah,
it doesn't really happen that way. So people often refer to, oh, you're on your permanent vacation, or, oh, you retired awfully early. And it's nothing like that. We're working so hard all the time so we can live this lifestyle. So it's kind of we're juggling our life and our work together all at once, rather than kind of putting that all off until the end when we might not be able to enjoy it.
I think that's the greatest challenge, though, for any entrepreneur. I think that's probably great for people listening to this to hear, because sometimes you look at what other people have or what they're doing and thinking, oh, that's got to be so much easier. But in reality, it's the same sort of things that people deal with. And I think in a way that's refreshing because it lets you know that these are the things that you're going to deal with as an entrepreneur, whether you're living here, if you have a brick and mortar, whether you are living in an RV, you still got to learn that sort of work-life balance and prioritizing things for when they need to happen. And being flexible. I think that you're in your situation, I think that learning to be flexible and learning to adapt to your situations, obviously you've learned to do that well, and that is a must. I would say that is different than a lot of other people's.
Very much so. And it's actually one of the major lessons I learned from my dog after he lost a leg to cancer. Because prior to that, I was still kind of, you know, I'm the man. I got to be earning the income and I got to make sure that this is all going to go well and we can keep living this lifestyle if we want. But ever since then, I saw him hop out of the hospital with one less leg with a smile on his face. I kind of started to learn about resilience and adaptability. And then at the end of his life, the same thing. You know, he didn't really know he was sick. He just wanted to go about his day and keep on enjoying life, which I kind of strive to do at all times.
That's awesome. Okay, so let's talk about you've given us a really good idea of this, but it's a signature question of the show. But what does working from your happy place mean to you?
I would say that working from my happy place means that I am able to look outside the window and just take in the scenery that I have worked so hard to get to so that I can enjoy it on any given day that I want to and not have to answer to anybody. If I want to go outside and just take a little walk or take my dog for a little walk out in that beautiful scenery, but yet still being able to keep my business running and help other people through our Tripods community. If I can get all that into one day, that is like the ideal happy place. And that's what I strive for.
That's so true. Because the one word that kind of sums up why I do everything I do is freedom. And rather than, you know, just living on that hedonic treadmill where you're just going after something again, and then you get it and you need more of it, or you're doing it for someone else, I'm out there, you know, living the best I can to have the freedom to change to those places. But, you know, logistically and technically speaking about, you know, where my happy place is, it's remote. It's out in the desert, or it's way up in the mountains where there's no neighbors and we're just doing what they call boondocking off in the woods without even any cell service, but I'm able to make a call via satellite internet and I can quit early and catch the sunset. That's my happy place. As long as I have Renee and my dog next.
Oh, that's awesome. So you said you're at your favorite winter place. Where is that? I'd love to know where your favorite winter place is.
We are in the Southern California desert, about an hour south of the city of Indio, which is near Palm Springs.
Okay.
And it's one of the less sunny days today, but usually it's a good 70, 75 degrees all winter long. We love it.
So it's near the Salton Sea, and it's actually a resort called Fountain of Youth. And we drove by it for many years wondering what the heck that was. But the first time we stayed, maybe a week or so, and everyone said, you'll be back. And that stay kept getting longer each winter because they have multiple hot spring fed pools, multiple swimming pools, a veggie market twice a week. And this time of year, it's kind of thinning out now, but it grows to a couple thousand people. I would not want to be here in summer when it's 120 plus degrees. That's when we head back to Colorado or the Northwest to enjoy the other part of life.
Wow, that's awesome. So what advice in closing would you give to other entrepreneurs that are wanting to do maybe something just like this, or they just like want to do something completely different? I think what I love about your story is that you were, you know, when you talk about being on that treadmill, so often we're chasing one thing to chase another thing, to chase another thing. And it's kind of this perpetual motion or hamster wheel is what I like to say. I need to get off the hamster wheel of life, man. So what advice would you give to those kind of wanting to do that?
Sure. Some of the more concrete advice I like to share with people is get out of debt. If you have debt right now, get out of it, because that is what is going to give you the freedom to pursue what it is that makes you happy. When you're not paying, working just to pay bills that you owe somebody money on, you will suddenly have this time you never knew you had, and that'll allow you to pursue things you always dreamed about doing.
Mine would be to find your purpose. Stop doing it for the money. Stop doing it for someone else. And if you have this great business idea, ask yourself, why? Who does it serve? Because I've learned, I have done a 180 from the time I used to be that workaholic guy working in the Silicon Valley, that I feel much more fulfilled when I'm serving others. So the Japanese call it ikigai. It's your purpose. It is your meaning for why you live the way you want to live. And once you find that purpose, you'll be more content and happiness in your life.
Awesome. So anything that you guys are working on right now that's exciting that you think our listeners might benefit from? And then please tell everyone how they can follow you or get in touch with
you.
Sure. Yeah.
Certainly. The one thing I've discovered after taking 10 years to write a book is that marketing a book is as difficult or more difficult than writing a book.
It's harder.
So my big project these days is sending people to bemoredog.net to discover this story that we're trying to get the word out about. And that's the dog, Be More Dog, the book, Be More Dog, Learning to Live in the Now. Renee?
And people can find us at, we have a couple of places, Tripods tripp.com is where our three-legged pet community is. And that's T-R-I-P, like Paul, A-W-D-S.com. And we also blog about our travel adventures at liveworkdream.com.
I love that.
And all the social media channels, we're either at Tripods or at liveworkdream.
Okay. Well, gosh, you guys, it has been awesome to have you. It's very inspiring. I think it's a very inspiring story. And I think it really is, like a lot of people say, oh, live your passion or do what you're passionate about, but they're not living it. You know what I mean? They're not actually doing it. It's great advice, but I think that you guys are the perfect picture of people doing exactly kind of what they set out to do. I think that's incredible.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for that, because I believe there's a difference between passion and purpose. You can be passionate about a lot of things, but until you find that purpose, which just passion will come naturally, you don't really feel fulfilled. So I think we're doing it, and I really like that justification that you just told us.
Oh, I know. I think it's awesome. So then with that, we will end here. I just want to encourage people to go check you guys out. I think that it is, I'm going to follow your exciting adventures. I think there's two sides to this. I really do.
There's, at least.
right? But there's everything that you're doing for pet owners and pets that have gone through, amputation. We just had some really good friends, and they got a brand new puppy, and their little one was playing with him, and then he fell off the couch. And I mean, he was only just, 8 weeks old, 9 weeks old, and broke his leg, but then it ended up having to be amputated. And so it was so difficult to have this brand new little puppy, and that dog is just thriving. So it's just fun to see what they were able to do with that and then everything that they've gone through. But I think that that's so awesome that you're doing that for pet owners and families, because it's a challenge and not something that you're always expecting. So I love that. And then you've got this other whole side of, yeah, absolutely. And then working out of an RV and just kind of like experiencing life while you work and live life. I just think it's really cool. So I think both of those things are pretty awesome, and congratulations.
Well, thank you. That's what it's all about. Thanks. Living life to the fullest. So we like to help people, both the RVers and the pet people needing amputation, which is unfortunate.
It is. Well, thanks so much to both Jim and Renee. And I want to thank all of our listeners today. And I just want to remind you, so that you don't miss a single one of our episodes, to please subscribe to Work From Your Happy Place. And then you'll always be notified when our next wonderful interview lands. And with that, thanks, guys. Thanks so much for joining us today. And we wish everyone the absolute best working from their happy place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.